Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, I don't know if you know this, but Rome got added to the Biletnikoff Award list. What do you think that means for him? And just kind of how much of a testament is that to just how much work he's put in the season?
It doesn't really mean a whole lot at this moment, at this junction in the season. Had over the years a number of guys get added to that list, but at the end of the day, it's more about where you're at the end of the season as a football team. That's really what's going to really matter. Is he getting better? We talked about it this week. You don't ever really stay the same. Are you getting better or are you getting worse? You never really stay the same. So just pushing him to really try to do his best to get better at his craft. And certainly he's all about that, you know. But, you know, the best part, the one thing about the Biletnikoff, I mean, it doesn't really measure the heart of the guys that are out there. And there's some other guys that if they measured the heart of players, you know, Rome would be right at the top of the list, period, from the beginning. But, you know, they just don't measure that. So Rome's just got a great heart.
I'm curious, this is an offense that's gone for it a ton on fourth down. I know that I looked at Purdue, you guys weren't as high statistically on fourth down. I'm just curious your perspective on being that kind of an offense, that daring of an offense. Do you like that? What's your thoughts on the amount that you guys have pushed it so far?
You know, I have taken from all of my coaching opportunities, I've definitely taken from each one of those experiences things and brought them along with me. And this particular one is one that I will certainly cherish going forward into my career. I love the aggressive nature of our offense. That to me is what teams really want to see. That's what the fans really want to see. They want to see you be aggressive in how you approach the football game. And obviously, we try to do it in a very smart manner, but we also want to be aggressive. And I think we are showing that every single week when we're going out there on fourth downs. At the end of the day, you know, everybody's on the same page. We've practiced these things. It's not like it's just a spur of the moment decision that's being made by anyone. I mean, no, these are situations that we've practiced over the course of the week, and we're well aware that some of them are coming up. It's more about execution at the end of the day, because fourth and six at UCLA on the first drive of the season, of the game, you know, we end up throwing a deep pass to Rome for a touchdown. Well, those are practiced situations. We understand what we're going to get, and we execute it. Well, guess what? Fourth and one, we didn't execute.
And you always hear coaches talk about the book, this mysterious book that tells you whether to go, not to go. How would you describe what the book is, and also how much of a factor that is in a coach's final decision-making process?
I mean, I'd have to sit here with you for a couple hours to really explain everything that goes into the book. But yeah. It certainly has certain down and distances, times of the game, home and away, current score of the game. It has all that information compiled into you, helping you make a decision as to whether or not you should be aggressive, not as aggressive, or really go ahead and make the decision to do the alternative. So there's a lot of information in there. And to be quite honest about it, I understand probably 95% of it. You know, there's probably still a little bit of it out there that, because I'm not looking at it every single day, as to why they put this situation as a go and this one not a go. So it's much more detailed than just, hey, it's fourth down, go for it. No, it takes in consideration a ton of factors to determine, hey, this is a moment where you do go for it.
Yeah, gotcha. Thanks, coach. Appreciate it.
How big is it for you guys to be back at home this weekend in front of Husky Nation, looking to rewrite the ship?
I love Husky Nation. it's so awesome coming out here on game day. Our fans are loud, and They really do a great job of supporting. They understand the game. Like that's one thing about our fans. They really understand the moments in the game where they have to really be a factor, and then the moments when they need to, like, all right, let's cheer them on the right way. So I really appreciate what we have here. And sometimes, you know, that goes underappreciated at places. You know, there are some facilities that don't get as many fans that are diehards for their program. So I'm just appreciative of what we have here at UW.
Is it just a fundamental thing? But I'd say, you know, communication and consistency is probably where I would say 90% of the offensive lines are in the country right now. You know, every coach is preaching the same thing. Just, and continuing to develop and get better.
Then when Jackson making that move to left guard, how do you feel he's kind of getting more comfortably into that now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's done a really good job. I think he's been our highest graded lineman the last two games. Yeah, he's been good. He's settled in, and he continues. I mean, he's really just on maybe like week 2.5 of fall camp right now for him. So, you know, he's going to just continue to get better and better, I think.
How much does that help the transition, given that he played right guard before, and then how much about just him naturally being a talented offensive lineman player makes that easy transition?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, right? He's played a lot of football for us. He's played guard before. He's comfortable, you know, in that phone booth. That was when he was playing tackle. That's the, you know, the hardest thing for a guy to transition from guard to tackle is the amount of space. Some guys are more comfortable in space. Some guys are more comfortable being inside, you know, in that phone booth. And he's done a great job at both of them. But I think he'll just continue to get better and better as we keep knocking the rust off, if you will. Yep.
Hey, Scott, I was just real curious. Obviously, you've been talked ad nauseum about this, but the switch of Troy and Jackson. Now that you've had a couple of weeks to really identify and see what things look like on film, what's the diagnosis?
Well, Jackson's been our highest graded lineman the last two games with us, and he's settled in. He hadn't practiced much. So this is like still only like week 2.5 for him or whatever it is. I don't know the exact math, but so he's still getting in and out. I mean, regardless of position, he's just getting back in the shape and the swing of things, and so he's done a really good job. And you know, Troy felt that, you know, it's not fair to Troy to keep moving him back and forth, and so we just felt like, hey, this is the best lineup for where we're at right now, and they've done a good job. You know, they've done a good job. Hopefully we can get settled in a little bit more and keep working on communication. And yeah, but I like where they're at.
I know you don't identify those types of combos for certain games and certain scenarios, but it does feel like, at least on the outside, when you look at the matchup on paper statistically, if you guys can get the ground game going a little bit, that's going to really generate some success. And it looks like Arizona, if you're going to identify a weakness on that side, it would be on the run defense. Do you think this is a situation where having a guy like Jackson inside could pay some dividends?
I just think that having Jackson in general is paying dividends, right? I mean, he's just a good player wherever you play him at. And yeah, I mean, this is where the best situation for where we're at right now. You know, this is the best lineup. And we'll keep, you know, working through that. But we're not, it's not like a game where we go in and say, hey, this matchup's better, or this matchup's better. You know, we not necessarily like that. So,
and also the competition still between Corey and Mateo, is that solidified itself or worked itself out?
We're still, both guys are playing at a good level. And so we'll keep rolling those guys. And Mateo had another good week, having a good week this week. And so, I'm very lucky to have that situation.
Yeah,
we're lucky to have that.
And obviously that.
And
that,
then Nate, having the ability to have Nate Kaleppo ready to go.
Sure.
We're very fortunate to have that.
So when you, like, the last 2 weeks, it's come down to the last drive for you guys in the fourth quarter, and obviously it gets highlighted because of the snap and the fumble at the end against Arizona State. When you're really getting down to the high leverage situations, how do you identify, and what process do you use to identify which center you're going to go with?
Yeah, we kind of normally have a set rotation kind of just going into it. Like, okay, hey, this guy's going to play here, this guy's going to play here, and then there's a little bit at the end of the day, like, you know, we just maybe what group we've had the most success with, or just who's playing well. I mean, there's not like a you know, a set process all the time.
Right.
But yeah, it's a little bit. We have an idea of what we're going to do going into it.
Okay, and those guys obviously know
yep.
like a day or two ahead.
Yep.
This is the plan going, yep. on, and obviously it can change.
Yep, that's right. That's okay. right. Yep.
Great. Thanks, yep. Scott.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Coach Schmidt. Hey, I was talking a bit with Braylon yesterday, and I think it kind of confirmed they were talking. I think some other guys have been talking about how the offenses that you guys play have really started to change things up since the Stanford game, not getting a lot of free releases, a lot of chipping, a lot of other things to try to stop you guys. How successful are you in the process of kind of answering those answers right now?
I think it's just overall defensively being able to play better. You know what I mean? I don't think necessarily like – you know, it's one position that necessarily needs to, you know what I mean, they're focusing on or stuff like that. I just think, hey, like, if we can do a better job of tackling some of the underneath routes and getting teams into longer down and distance situations, then there's going to be more opportunities for us to be able to go rush the passers. So I think we understand what the, you know, what the blueprint is as far as how teams are attacking us. Now it's just a matter of us being able to go out and execute and do really fundamental football, you know what I mean, things for us to be able to be successful. So that's the stuff that, you know, you put some stuff on tape and teams are going to, you know, use that against you week in and week out. So we got to find a way to be really good this week of tackling a lot of the underneath stuff and making sure that, hey, you know, hitches are five-yard routes. They're not explosive plays, you know what I mean? Quick screens and stuff like that are, you know what I mean, minimal tackles or minimal gains for us and not, you know, explosive plays. So that's the stuff we've really been focusing on with not just our DBs but with everybody on our entire team, you know.
Sure. Yeah, you mentioned third downs, and looking back on the tape, it wasn't there were obviously some third and shorts, but there were also quite a bit of third and six, seven, eights, and yet still having difficulties. For you guys personally as a position, what do you think needs to improve in order to get off the field? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about that already, but is there some things with rush or some other things?
Well, I think it all goes hand in hand, right? Like if we can do a better job of being able to win one-on-ones, beat protections, affect quarterbacks in any way. And not necessarily just always sacking them, but hitting those guys, getting them off their spots, you know, I mean, just making them have to move their feet, deflecting balls, like whatever disruption, you know, that we can make, I think is important. And then, you know, if you can obviously, you know, I mean, cover some things longer and things like that, you give your rush an opportunity to be able to get there, you know, faster too as well. So I think it's holistic approach for us. It's like I said before, like I think you know, we understand that, hey, everybody on the team's got to do their 1/11th. And for us, it's, you know, those downs are where we really pride ourselves and we got to do a better job of being able to, like you said, on third and medium and third and long, like we got to win, you know what I mean, and get off the field at a higher rate than we're doing right now. So that's a huge point of emphasis for us and something that we got to, if we want to be a championship defense, we got to get better at.
I was wondering just the things that you see on tape with your group, knowing that, you know, there's been six different starting position groupings with the secondary. And inherently, does that put a seed in your guys' mind that maybe you have to do more than what you would normally expect those guys to do because of the uncertainty and the injuries and the things that are going on back there?
No, I think we try to stay away from that as much as we can, because as soon as you start to, you know what I mean, start to think about things like that, then all of a sudden I feel like the plays that you should make, those are the plays now that you don't, you know. And somebody busts the protection and you get off an edge and leave your feet or something like that, and the quarterback, you know, buys extra time and stuff like that. Like that, we just have to make sure that we stick to what our plan is, doing our job, and those guys back there will be fine. You know what I mean? I just think, hey, that when you start getting into that kind of, I think, you know, train of thought and thinking, you know, I think it just becomes dangerous for you. So we've really tried to just focus on, hey, this is our job. We're dropping, you know, we've dropped into coverage more now and stuff like that too as well, just trying to change things up and make sure we're not just in one thing, you know, every third down, and try to give quarterbacks a little bit more to think about, you know what I mean, as far as that goes. So, there's definitely, I feel like some scheme things that we can get better at, but ultimately for our guys on the edges is they're still doing a good job of winning out there. It's just, you know what I mean, the quarterbacks aren't holding on to the ball as long and stuff like that. Right. So, and when you do get chipped and things like that, like I tell those guys, hey, those are two less guys now that are going out for routes, you know what I mean, or have an opportunity to be able to go vertical in the passing game. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's, I think offenses will tell you too as well, like, hey, that's, it's a lot harder now when not everybody's a threat going out to be able to catch a, be able to catch a ball, especially in third down situations. So, we've really stuck to, hey, man, do your job. You know what I mean? Do your 111th. That's what we got to do. And everybody else on the field has to do that too as well. And once we start getting back to doing that, I think we'll definitely see our third down numbers, you know, be better.
Yeah, Braylon wouldn't take the bait when I asked him about Jaden Delora if he reminds him of anybody. He says that everybody's kind of unique. But does he, are there some traits or some skill sets that you see some similarities with some guys that you've already played?
Well, I just think, you know, he is a little unique just as far as, I mean, he's a really athletic guy, but yet he buys a lot of time to be able to throw the ball too, where you see a lot of guys that are that athletic. I mean, it's one read and then I want to use my feet to be able to go run the ball and get a first down. And he'll do some of that too as well. But I think their third down numbers, why it's such a challenge this week, not only because we've struggled on third down, but they're good on third down too, is because of him. You know what I mean? Like, it's the stuff that you can't practice for at times, where you take away the, you know what I mean, you cover the routes that they have and now he just pulls it down. And it's scramble drill, you know what I mean, like every other third down, and all of a sudden those guys are getting open. So that'll be the biggest challenge with him, I feel like, is just there's going to be plays now that are 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 second plays just because he's back there buying time, running around, doing all that kind of stuff. So our guys got to be really disciplined in coverage, got to do a great job of being able to understand scramble drill and how we fit up scramble drill no matter what coverage you're in. And then we got to do a good job of, you know what I mean, keep breathing on him. Like, he's got to know we're there, and guys got to do a good job of staying on their feet, not diving and missing opportunities, because those are huge plays. You know what I mean? When you're scrambling around back there and going the wrong way, you get a guy down now. Now it's, instead of, you know, 2nd and 5, it's 2nd and 12, it's 2nd and 15, because he's going backwards, you know what I mean, to be able to buy time as far as that goes. So we got a big challenge there, I think, just as far as being able to really try to contain a really athletic guy back there and a guy that's really trying to buy time to be able to make plays with his arm.
You talked going back to camp about the different skill sets of your top three guys, Jeremiah being really, really strong against the run, Braylon kind of having a nice balance there, Zion being really good as a pass rusher. Have you seen those guys kind of bring along the parts of their game that you've wanted them to so far?
I think Jeremiah has. I think he's done a good job. Like, he understands, I think, like, hey, I got to get better rushing the passer. I think his power rush stuff has always been good, and he's been able to add a few things now. You know, I think talking to other guys in the league and things like that before games, like, there's some respect for those guys just because I think most of the guys at that position are probably in the 240s, maybe the mid-250s, and our guys are doing it at 265 and 270. So I think automatically there's a little bit of like, hey, that's, you know, just a little bit different skill set out there, rushing off the edge and dropping and doing all that stuff. So I've been happy with those guys just as far as, you know, just being able to work on weaknesses. They're not guys, they understand their strengths. We're trying to do everything we can to make sure that, you know, I mean, we're game planning towards their strengths, but they've really worked on some of the weaknesses too, and I think they've gotten better there. I think Braylon's the one guy that's kind of felt all the time has been able to, like, he'll play physical against the run. He's a good pass rusher, all that stuff. Jeremiah's done a good job. And Zion, to a certain point, too, we're still working on some things there in the run game stuff that we think he can get better at, but obviously rushing the passer, he's still pretty dynamic.
All right, I got Coach Brown here. Coach, just – you know, give me your thoughts on the progress of you guys so far. You know, had a couple tough games. But where are you guys at right now?
You know, just coming out, trying to get better, you know, watching the corrections, things that we have to get corrected, getting the communication cleaned up. But the guys, they come in and do the work. And so, you know, some guys have been put in different positions and things like that out of necessity, out of guys going down. But just got to continue to chip away, continue to get better and clean things up.
Is Jordan Perryman getting back to the point where you're going to be able to use him for a whole game now?
He played the whole game last game.
He did. Okay, I didn't count them all up. So what about Julius Irvin?
Yeah, Juice is starting to get back. Yeah, he didn't play last game, but he's starting to get back. So hopefully we'll get him back on Saturday. We love to have him back. Obviously, all the depth that we can get back, we love to have it.
So tell me a little bit about Elijah Jackson. First game back for him. Did he use the – I mean, was he a little rusty, had some roughs to kick off, or did he
– No, he actually played a really good game, but, you know, Elijah went down early in the third quarter, and so he didn't get a chance to finish the game. But up until that point, he was playing well. had a great week of prep. He was playing confident. And so he was off to a really good start. We were encouraged by how he played.
Now, Arizona State, did they do some things to kind of throw you guys off on what they were doing? Because some of their guys were getting open pretty well, or what was the deal with that?
No, some of it, they had a couple good calls where, you know, schematically they had some things dialed up. We had a couple things that they made plays on that we actually had the right call, and we either had an eye violation or some miscommunication. That was the disappointing thing. You know, one of the touchdowns, we specifically had a guy that we were taking away and just had an eye violation. So for us coaches, you know, we got to continue to stress it. We got to continue to emphasize it. We got to put the guys in that's going to play with great eyes and continue to find the best group that we can get out there.
Talked to a couple players yesterday, not necessarily defensive backs, but talked to a couple players yesterday, and they said that the defense had taken them a little bit of time to pick up. Do you feel your guys are picking up the scheme and what their responsibilities are pretty well?
Yeah, they're picking up the scheme. I mean, if you go in the film room, they can spit all the questions. The thing with the young guys is when you get out to the game, right, you have anxiety, it's going fast, you got heat, and so it's kind of all these things coming at you. And so for those guys, it's getting them to process the information quickly, get their cleats in the ground and play the play. And that's what I stress to them is get the call, get your cleats in the grass and play the play.
When you say get your cleats in the grass, that means you've got your play call and now you know how you're supposed to be set up and things like that.
Correct.
With losing Asa so early in the game and Coach Morrell talked about how he was kind of a big communication guy back there. Who's the communication guy for the cornerbacks, or is it kind of does it go through the safeties?
You know, it's really a collective effort depending on the call that we have in and the formation they come out in. And so for us, we need to communicate as a group. We can't rely on one kid to make all the calls. And so it's continuing to show them pictures, guys getting the line. And the one thing, I mean, guys have played a lot of different spots. So, you know, we've had guys go from safety to corner, corner to husky, husky to safety. And so everybody's really moved around. So it's getting them all where they're on the same accord. And being able to go out and execute. I thought we've done a better job of that this week. Guys have been locked in kind of to the cause, and we've got to continue to do that tomorrow and Friday, and then go out and show it on Saturday, because at the end of the day, we have to show it on game day.
Have you ever dealt with this many injuries and having to platoon guys in like you have?
No, I mean, we haven't had the same starting group for each game. And so, you know, like I think I said a couple weeks ago, it's giving guys a chance to get reps, you know, that have to go out there and play out of necessity. But at the end of the day, we know what the standard is. We're going to continue to hold them accountable. We got to continue to push the envelope, because at this point, nobody's really freshmen. All of our freshmen have played in six games now, and so they got snaps under their belt. So we got to go out and play at a high level against a very, very talented team.
All right, I was going to ask you, this is my last question about Arizona and what they present. They've got some really good wide receivers, and Delara's throwing the ball around a little bit. Tell me what the problems they present for you guys.
It's going to be a tremendous challenge. They're really good on the perimeter. Their guys make plays. They're confident. The quarterback is really, really good. He throws the balls up. He gives them a chance to make plays. We got to do a great job of communicating, taking away the first look. And then when we do take away the first look, we got to do a good job of staying plastered on the wide receiver, because he does a great, great job of escaping, scrambling, keeping the play alive, and giving those guys a chance to make plays after he does it. So it's a tremendous test. You know, we got to have another great day of practice tomorrow, and then go out there and play on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.